Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I do apologize. I do apologize once again to the listeners, every listener, for our technical difficulties on tonight. We know that the enemy sometimes gets busy, and we don't want to give him no praise or glory, but I do apologize for coming on late. But thank God for now. We are here, and we are going to continue to move forward as we always do. I appreciate you for taking your time out to bear with us until we came on live. I thank each one of you, the listeners. As we always do, I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. He's going to share another inspirational poem first, and then he's going to go directly into God's Word. I am not going to do a music break, but we're going to go to God in prayer right now because we always open up with prayer. I hope you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as we get ready to go to God's Word together on tonight. Please pray with me. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' name we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for this another day that you have made. We thank you for who and all that you are. We bless your name because we know that you are worthy to be praised. Heavenly Father, we come now asking in the name of Jesus that you would forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions so that we can move in according to your word and your will for our lives and fulfill our God purposes in the earth. That your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you for his blood. And through his rising from the dead, he's now sitting at your right hand. We can be redeemed and be restored back to you. And when we confess our sins to you. So that's why we confess once again in the name of Jesus on tonight. Now, Lord, we ask that you will continue to move by your spirit, comfort and strengthen those that ever breathe all over the land. We know that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders. So touch, heal, and strengthen your people all over the land in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace on tonight. So we ask that you will move by your spirit. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you alone would get the glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Well, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, we always have a spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes from tonight saying, meditate on God's goodness to you. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, meditate on God's goodness to you. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Once again, I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at James_Brown1558 at yahoo.com or on Facebook. Once again, because we had the technical difficulties and we came on late, we're not going to do a music break on tonight. We have Deacon Marvin Cox standing by, so we're going to go directly to him. Again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem, and then he's going to go directly into God's Word. And I hope you have your Bibles and papers and pens ready to follow along as we go into God's Word once again on tonight. I now yield the mic to you, Deacon Marvin Cox.
Amen. Once again, I'd like to thank the Lord for this opportunity that he's given me. And I want to come tonight. I want to apologize in advance because I'm doing the show from my bed. And the noise outside is penetrating the window. So I'm just apologizing in advance if you hear shit happen here, a car speeding by or something like that. You know, but we're going to concentrate on the word, and we're going to pray that the Lord don't allow anything to disrupt his services. Now, tonight's lesson is a continuation of last week's lesson, but the poem for tonight, and it's coinciding with last week's lesson, is tonight. The poem for tonight is Love Don't Take Vacation. And I'm going to show this, you know, to the old listeners, I know you've heard this poem before, but this is a poem that you should never, that we should never get tired of. Love don't take vacations and love don't sleep. Love don't promises that love can't keep. Love is the tension that can easily be met. Love don't procrastinate. Love don't forget. Love builds character. Love is wild. Love is forgiving in the heart of a child. Love brings comfort to those who are in despair. Love will never say that I just don't care. Love is a healer. Love is a true friend. Love won't mistreat you. Love won't offend. Love is perfect in every single way. Have you been hugged, embraced by Jesus today? Man will get tired and go to the train station. Now, ain't you glad that love will take a vacation? Love will encourage you to always do better. Love is spending a lifetime together. Love is strong. Love is not weak. Love knows what your heart feels before you can speak. Love is certain. Love is sure. When troubles come your way, love will help you endure. Love is a protector of all mankind. Love sees everything. Love is not blind. Love will guide you through anything. Ain't you glad that love won't take a vacation? Amen. What's understood don't need to be explained. Okay, I'm going to go directly into tonight's lesson because we have limited time because of technical difficulties that Ron told you about. This is the continuation of last week's lesson. And last week's lesson, those who just who didn't tune in last week, was all day, every day. This is coming from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. But before I refresh you on last week's lesson, I'm going to bring you up to date and give you the title to this lesson. This week's lesson, it's basically the same. But what we're going to do is that we just reworded it. This week's lesson is, ain't you glad that God don't change? And we'll be reading to you from the King James Version of the Word, Psalms 18, chapter, verses 34 to 36. And it reads, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is going out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before thee. I just read unto you from God's word from Psalm 89, chapter, verses 34 to 36 on the King James Version. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Now, as I said, our topic is, aren't you glad that God don't change? And see, tonight we're going to talk about, combined with all day, every day, and the poem that was read to you, that love don't take vacation. Aren't you glad that God don't change? And last week we discovered in Peter, 1 Peter, 5th chapter, the 7th verse, that says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So it's letting us know all day, every day, that God cares for you. Okay, then we read Psalm 69, 68, and 19, and it says, every day God thinks of you. That was the thought behind that particular scripture. It said, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. So this means that every day God is thinking about a way in which he can bless each and every last one of us. And then we went on down to Thessalonians. We had numerous scriptures, but these are the most important. And we went down to 2 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter, 3rd verse, and it was letting us know that every hour God looks out for you. So all day, every day, God is doing these things. He's looking out for you. He's caring for you. And he thinks of you. And so, and then the scripture reads, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So, God looking out for each and every last one of them. He's the former saint. He's the protector of all mankind. God sees everything. God is not blind. So, we cannot or we should not allow things to sneak up on him because God seen it a long time ago, but we have to open up our spiritual eyes to the extent that we don't allow these things to overtake us. Now, the last verse, lesson last week, leading to this week, was that God, every second, God loves you. Jeremiah, the 37th chapter, the 3rd verse, and it reads, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So to summarize that particular verse, it just lets us know it's the everlasting. So this means it's continuous, it's perpetual, it's never ending. And tonight, coming from Psalms, the 89th chapter, 34th verse. We're going to, I told you, I'm going to explain to you why. And the thought is coming out of that 34th verse, Psalm, the covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is going out of my lips. So just taking that into consideration, I just let each and every last one of us know that he's not going to change. Now, man will change on you in a minute. He will promise, if God's a promise keeper. I'm more than sure that Brother Brown is affiliated with the promise keepers. So, if God is a promise keeper and everything that's going out of my lips, so everything that God says, he's going to back it up. And to have an unchanging God in my life, and at this particular time, is the best thing you can ever have. And I'm going to go about to read some scriptures that not only verify and confirm what I've been telling you that. Now, ain't you glad that nothing will change? Because even as parents, sometimes our children, that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, but because they were disobedient to this, what's going on with our children, which is us, we have fell by the wayside. We have become disobedient in our thinking. We have become disobedient in our worship, because it said, forsake not to assemble yourself in the house of prayer. Love ye one another as I have loved you. So with all these things that's going on right now, fear and confusion and antagonism is gripping the land. So when we have a parent, and we're disobedient, that parent, it does not mean that that parent does not love us because they withhold things or the things that we promised, because he will give these things to us in his time. Remember, all day, every day, God loves you. He looks out for you. He cares for you. So taking these things into consideration, sometimes because we're living in a microwave society, instantaneous society, we feel that if we don't get the things that we want when we want them, that they're not worth having, and that whoever is holding back on these things, then they don't, you know, they got the control. But that's not the case, because I know it's been plenty of things. Now, if the Lord would have gave me a wife at the age of 19, I wouldn't have been smart enough. I wouldn't have been mature enough. I wouldn't have been financially able enough to sustain that wife, because it is such a thing in God's permissive will. When he gives you things that he knows that you're not ready for, but he will give you these things anyway. But I want God to bless me when I'm ready to receive, and not only receive that blessing, but to distribute out among my brethren. Because they say every good and perfect gift, it comes from the Lord. So a lot of things we ask for, a lot of things we feel that we need. But God knows that we're not ready for these things. Now, ain't you glad that God don't change? Because all those things that God don't like, all those things that he did not like, guess what? He still don't like them. But he tells us to obey the law of mammon as well as the law of God. So man will get in here and he would be trying to be sophisticated. But nothing should ever allow us to denounce the goodness of God. Nothing should prevent us, you know, nothing should separate us from the love of God. As I say in Psalms 89th chapter, 34 verse, it tells us that every word that comes out of his lips, he can back it up, because see, sometimes through our frustration, we won't, or because of our tiredness. But over in Psalms 121 and 4. It says that he that keep Israel should neither slumber nor sleep. So God is not going to take a coffee break on you. He's not going to take a coffee break on me. He's going to do what he says do. He's not going to take a siesta. He's not going to take a nap. He's not going to take 40 winks. So I don't know about you, but just having somebody on 24-hour watch and guard over me, I can't think of a better situation for me to be in. And God will never change. Says in his word that it changes not. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 18th verse, reminds us. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So same way he was, same thing he didn't like yesterday, he don't like today. Same things he detested today, he still detests them and forever. So this is everlasting, as the previous verse that I read to you. All right, now we're going to move over to Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 2nd verse. He said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, what is that saying to me, Deacon? What they're saying is that God knows that we're born in sin and that we're wrapped in iniquity and we come short of his glory. So, therefore, we know that his spirit will not thrive with men at all times. So somewhere along the way, somewhere along during the course of your day, there's going to be some disobedient thoughts that creep into your mind. There's going to be some disobedient deeds that come about you. Because Brother Paul said that he's got a war going on inside of him. When? Every month? No. Every week? No. Every year? No. But daily. So with some type of conflict, they say that we sin daily. So every day is something that's going to come and try to get us not verbally to denounce God, to choose the world over God. But see, I'm glad that he don't change. I'm glad that love for me is real. I'm glad that love, only stipulation that love comes with is that I love my brother. I love my sister. I love everybody. It says, love ye one another as I have loved you. As God loved the church. So that love that God instilled in me, I'm supposed to show it to my fellow men over in Matthew. It tells us that, it said, we're supposed to pray for them that spitefully use you and say all manners of evil. And that's over in the 5th chapter. Now, I'm not going to give you the exact verse because it might spoil you. You know, if we tell everything that needs to be told, then there's no curiosity about the word. But it says, pray for them. It's in the latter verses. Pray for them that spitefully use you. In other words, wait a minute, hold on. These people are doing this thing on purpose. And say, all men is evil falsely. So when people come to other people with a mouthful of lies about you, don't seek out vengeance, because God says his word says vengeance is mine and I shall repay. Don't seek out vengeance. God's word has instructed you and me and everybody else that's listening to pray for them. That's why it's abuse. Say if someone smite thee on one cheek, turn thee the other cheek. But over, you know, in the neighborhood where I come from, you know, that's a challenge to a person's manhood. That's a challenge to a person's womanhood. That, you know, I ain't got to take that stuff off of you. God's word is saying, be patient. God's word is saying, vengeance is mine. Hey, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. But see, nobody, if we think about it, nobody wants to suffer for the Lord. Because when the Lord went through his dilemma for us, guess what? He never said a he said not a mumbling word. So somebody's going to tell you that they don't like the color of your shoes and it's going to offend you and you're going to take retaliatory action? I think not. got to be able to put our feelings aside. Why? Because God changes not. God is the day the same, tomorrow the same, yesterday the same, and forevermore. He's the same. There's no fluctuation in his love for us. Because I said, I was telling you earlier, sometimes, and it's only human nature, for us to penalize those people that we kept. I'm not going to give you this because you did that. But once again, we're going to go and we're going to, you know, we're going to do our best to stay in the Word, because see, it's a price that we pay for this obedience. And God is letting everybody know. And I just want you to look about you right now, because right now the thing that's going on, when I went to my doctor a week ago, he's a man of God. And he was saying that a lot of people, he said 2/3 of the people that he talked to, and he got a large congregation, he says that 2/3 of the people that he talked to, they think that he did a percentage. He said 66% think that this situation that's going on now with this coronavirus, he said, people say 66% of it is pertaining to God. He said 33% think that it's pertaining to another fella. But I'm here to tell you that God, he said he would neither slumber nor sleep, but he lets us know, and I'm going to get to that in a few minutes, that he warns us. As a matter of fact, he lets us know. He said, when your calamities, and right now the particular scripture, it escapes you, but it comes to my mind. The number and the verse say, when your calamities come upon you, your calamities, I will look at you and laugh and turn my face. So what is this saying to us? That, okay, that's over there in Proverbs, the first chapter. That's where it is. It says that I will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear comes. And why is this? It's because of one simple thing. It's because of man's disobedience. If you look at all through the Bible and so forth and on, whenever man got beside himself, that's when God, he didn't withdraw his spirit, because man walked away from him. Man abandoned him. He said, I will look at you and laugh. And we have to think about that. We say, well, why do I feel like God has abandoned me? Why do I feel so lonely? Why? Because we discussed this in the past. Because I walked away from the light. You notice the further you walk away from the light, guess what? The darker it's going to get. So, just letting everybody know that whatever's going on now, I don't know personally, because I'm not God, but I can imagine that it's because of man's disobedience. Because that great falling away of the church is in progress now. It looks like divorce and attendance in the church is about the same, almost like 50%, when many, many years ago, it was much higher than that. Now, the divorce rate, it was, you had a more than a 50-50 chance of surviving your marriage. And the house of prayer, it was more than 70% of the people that were going to the house of prayer. So we have to look at these things, and it's because of that great falling away of the church. Because God, if you examine his word, what does it say? It says, it's not my will. The Lord speaking himself. That man must die. But after death, the judgment. So we have to examine ourselves. The Corinthians would tell us, you know, so let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's word. So through disobedience, you know, we look at it and say, how can God be so cruel? But when you withdraw or you turn away from something, guess what? The ninth lesson is still intact, because it's there all day, every day. But it's just like a child getting in trouble and the parents have warned them repeatedly. You know, little Susie, don't do this. Little Tommy, don't do that. And that child insists upon doing that which the parent told them not to do. So that parent, through frustration, whatever the situation might be, or through the hard-headedness of the child, that parent just do what? Say, okay, boy. Okay, girl, I done told you. That parent just fold their arms and wait for that child to work that situation out. Wait for that child to realize you should have listened to me in the first place. And if you look about you now, you know, there's your wickedness. And one thing, I try my best not to mix the government with God's word. Say spiritual wickedness in high places. And, you know, and you could take that literally. It could be in the house of prayer. It could be in our government. It could be in a multiplicity of places where the spiritual wickedness is going on. So, ain't you glad that God's gonna change? Ain't you glad that there were promises that he made centuries and centuries ago? They still hold true. He said, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves. I keep going in the right, the same direction, but turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. But if we notice some of the situations going on, just like Pharaoh, back in Exodus, right now it looks like our government's heart is getting harder and harder and harder and harder. The Bible says wax cold. When something is waxing cold, that means it's becoming callous around that heart, because that heart is supposed to be supple, that heart is supposed to be soft, and heart is supposed to be able to, and if you look at it, diseases of the heart, you got arterial sclerosis, which is hardened on the arteries. They got sclerosis of the liver. All of these things mean that whatever that particular organ was, that is getting hard around it. So can you imagine it's getting hard around people's heart, and people not caring anymore, people not loving anymore, people not doing the things that God has told them to do anymore. But see, I'm glad that God don't change. Why? Because he's a God of second chances. He's a God that will look beyond our circumstance. You might say, even say, I'm not God, but I can understand, well, you know, my today is having a rough time. My child today is going through a bad situation. I'm just going to be patient. See, if he come back to me, even though he already know, but see, God gives us a choice. Gives us a chance, you know, if, you know, to repent, to turn, to reconcile. If you got an alt against your brother, he said, before you bring the gift to the altar, what do you want you to do? I don't want you, you know, being angry with your brother. I don't want you to bring it. You know, I can't use a gift that's given through animosity. I want you to go and reconcile. I love your brother. I can use a loving gift. But have you ever seen somebody that begrudgingly give you something? He said, no, you know, you could keep that. But he tells us to go and reconcile. Therefore, we right now we do reconciliation in the worst way. First of all, we have to reconcile ourselves back to God. First, we got to do this. But how can I, you know, how can I love the brother who I've never, love God who I've never seen, and hate my brother whilst I'm dead? I'm a lie, the truth, but not a bad will friend me. So we have to make amends with God first and let him lead and direct us in that path in which we should go. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad because the one that I read to you, it instructs us, it lets us know that Psalm 89:34, I read it to you again. My covenant will I not break. You alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. See, it ain't going to change. I'm going to read a few scriptures to you pertaining to God not changing. Okay, Revelation 1:6. It says, and had made us kings and priests unto God, and then Father to him, the glory and dominion forever and ever. So all day, every day. You don't change, you don't have to change. They say, be ye not conformed, which don't go along with foolishness, but be ye transformed. Why? How? By the renewing of your mind. We have to change our attitudes when it comes down to what God will help us do. We have to put ourselves in that position that I do that is against God. I do not. I don't do these things anymore. These things, I know are offense to God. I know these things will put me in bad favor with God. So that's up to me. Open to 1 Peter 1:24-50, 23 verses. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is of grass. The grass withered, and the flower thereof falleth away. So, this is what I was saying, that man can change his mind. Man will wither away all flesh and grass, and see, grass is not meant to last ever. Grass is something that, just like we are, grass is just a creature of the moment. But see, God never changes. God will always stay the same. He says that God is the same today, tomorrow, and forever, and he changes not. Okay, Psalm 90:2. Say, before the mountains even brought forth, forever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. All these things, I mean, it's nothing new up under the sun. But we just have to be patient to ride this situation out. So now is that perfect opportunity. Since God don't change, and we read, and we know about his rules and regulations, by reading and studying the Bible to show ourselves approved of his word, then there's no excuses that we could come up with for being disobedient. Now, we know that we have to be in a position where we have to tame the flesh. We have to tame the flesh. That's the way that we don't let the flesh dominate the spirit, because the spirit is supposed to, you know what it says. The spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes I've done it, I'm more than sure that each and every last one of the listeners have catered to the flesh on occasion. I'm giving in to the flesh. But Paul says it's a battle that he's fighting daily. Brothers and my sisters, all day, every day, God heard you. God does not change. God will always be the same. And now that's how you run into somebody and never seen them in 20, 30, maybe even 40 years. And they say, oh, you know what? I mean, quite naturally, physically, we might change with that personality. They say, oh, Brother Brown or Sister Johnson or a Deacon Taylor. You know, you're still the same. You still got that bubbly personality. Now, I don't know about you, It's just the utmost comfort for somebody to come into their life out of the past and declare that your ways for God, not you as a good God, but your ways for God are not changed. So, as I said, we're working with limited time today. I've got a couple more scriptures to read to you. Revelation 1 and 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So if there is none over God, so he's the Almighty. You have to take these things into deep consideration. Because I'm glad that this is one time I want to speak for everybody, but I know that I'm not able to speak for everybody tonight. But I'm glad that God don't change. I'm glad that he gave me a second chance. I'm glad that he looked beyond more than the physical character that stood before him, more than that physical character that fell down on his knees and supplication to him and saw a need to be nurtured, a need to be loved, and met that need. They sent me a beautiful wife, one that was going to be a wife and treat me the way in which a wife should treat a husband, be that virtuous woman. So God, he wants us to have, and he wants us to have in a way that man says, you know, hey, you're going to be by yourself, you know, we're going to give him a helpmeet. So whatever your circumstance is, God don't change. You should be glad, like I said. I'm glad. Because to have the same set of rules and not them not to be modified at all, that's a wonderful thing. Because he said that if the wheat and tares grow together and in my harvest, I do the same way. So whatever it is that somebody may do that is contrary to God's word, then let them be. So say, God says, hey, your neighbor might be the biggest drunk on the block, but God says, let them be. Let them intermingle. They might be next to an abuser or whatever, but let it be. Let them grow together. I separated. You ain't got no business separating. So God bless you and never keep you. This was a condensed time, but I think I covered the ground that the Lord wanted me to cover. And until God said the same, you take care of yourself, and I love you. Bye.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Once again, Deacon Marvin Cox, we thank God for you for delivering that powerful word on tonight. And we all sometimes need to be reminded, especially as Christians, you know, but be reminded, you know, that God, he don't change. So I am glad, I'm grateful tonight as well. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners on tonight that feel the same way, that we are so grateful and we are so glad that the God that we serve, he don't change, because he said he cannot change. He failed not. He changes not. So we just thank God for who he is on tonight. We bless his name because he's worthy to be praised, and he's and still in total control at all times. And he don't slumber nor sleep. He promised that he cares for you. For those of you that feel like giving up, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel on tonight. Know that our Heavenly Father cares for you. And he said you can cast all your cares upon him. Me. So we're glad that he don't change. He don't go back on his word. He's a promise keeper. So we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Thank God for every listener that tuned in faithfully to this worldwide ministry and platform. It is still growing beyond my wildest imagination. Glory. Nothing that I have done, nobody but God. And I just give him the glory. And I thank him for every guest that ever comes across this worldwide platform delivering God's word, sharing inspirational poems, and singing salon, selections on that air live, and ministering to the people in song. Thank God for each one of you. And everyone that has come across this worldwide platform, giving God glory through the testimonies, whatever you have done, over this worldwide platform. I thank God for each one of you. Thank God for each listener. So now, Lord, we ask you to have your way in our lives. Continue to move by your spirit. Continue to comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved all over the land. Continue to touch, heal, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted, because we know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders on today. Thank you again for who you are. Thank you for your grace and your mercy on tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in total control at all times. We love you. We bless your name. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works, and we know that it will never lose its power. So continue to have your way in our lives, that you alone will be glorified, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And those that are believing and agreeing with this prayer also said, amen. To God be the glory. Well, on tonight, once again, know that I love you. Know that God loves you too. So you want to tune in on Saturday night, May 30th, this coming Saturday night at 8 o'clock p.m., Pastor Norman King will be bringing forth God's word. He's the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries, which is located in Greensboro, North Carolina. My first cousin, he is going to be bringing forth God's word on this coming Saturday night. So you're going to tune in and be blessed by him through God's word again on this coming Saturday. Again, know that I love you. God loves you even more. Until this coming Saturday, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.